This dude's been in the Freak Nation a few times. Justin Hill, Supercross pilot, joining us here in the Freak Nation. And it seems like we spend more time talking about you and your damn music than we do about you on that freaking Supercross and motocross bike. And I saw that. Was that true that you spent some time in the London Bridge studio recording some music last year? Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. When we went up to Seattle, obviously we got some pretty deep roots with music in Seattle, Portland area, and that's my home. You know, I'm from Portland, so we decided to, well, not me, actually, Sean Brennan and a couple of the people at Feld decided to kind of surprise me with the opportunity to go over there. You know, I met Eric and some people that run the studio these days, and it was nuts for me because almost all of my favorite albums were recorded and produced there. So it was a heck of a time for me.
Well, that's the point. And again, we know you as a big-time Supercross motocross pilot, but to many people out there, they're not familiar with London Bridge Studios. It's more than just a hobby for you, and what London Bridge Studio has meant to many bands out there, whether it was rock, grunge, post-grunge, the bands that have come out of that studio, it's not lost on a guy like yourself, whether it was Mother Love Bone, Temple of the Dog, Alice in Chains, I can go on and on. You understand the significance of that studio.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, like you're saying, for my regular racing career, it's so dedicated to the same old thing, the same grind. It's just constant, you know, inch at a time towards the goal, right? And so there's not as much open for creativity like you find with music, and you find with these, that you go to these places and you see the creative nature of what was done here, and you feel that when you walk into that studio. When you walk into London Bridge Studio and you stand where Chris Cornell stood, and you stand where Lane Staley stood, and you can just feel it. Like it just seeps through your skin. It's crazy.
Queensryche, Candlebox, Zakk Wylde, guitarist for Ozzy, Blind Melon, Pearl Jam. Of those bands that have come out of there, what's the one band that played in London Bridge Studios that you would have liked to sat there, behind the mic with your guitar and played along with?
Oh, geez, that's crazy. That's crazy to ask me that, because I grew up, and basically what hit me the hardest was obviously Pearl Jam 10. I mean, that album was like the forming moment for me in my music taste and everything. So that, just to hear them record, just to be in the fly on the wall, not even be a part of it, you know, I would just love to see you know, them do the opening to Oceans or record Black, and I don't know, that I think that's the album that really gets me. But Soundgarden to me is what kind of pushed me into who I am now as far as what I enjoy making musically. And gosh, it would just be crazy to just be, like I said, a fly on the wall for those albums.
Yeah, imagine Chris Cornell's still alive and you're sitting in the studio and you say, Chris, hold on, I got this, buddy.
Well, that's the thing. I don't have that. Chris had a voice that I don't think will ever be obtained. I mean, I saw some things in there that I still to this day, like, they're burnt into my memory. And that's one thing that hit me was the Wall of Fame and kind of the Wall of Shame. And they had the Blind Melon album on the wall that they, you know, don't really consider an accomplishment. I think that means basically sales and popularity and everything. But I'm looking at that going, that is one of my favorite albums ever. I mean, like, if there was more backing behind an album like that, maybe it would have changed everything about music, because that, the way that they arranged their taste and the way that they arranged in Shannon's voice was just completely different than anybody else's. I can't really explain it. I get emotional talking about just being there. So I want to go back at some point and really try to put together if anything, maybe just an EP or something. But I have all summer to hopefully work on that with them.
Justin Hill, Supercross motocross pilot, joining us in the Freak Nation. And is there a track that you are particularly fond about, whether it's indoor, outdoor? Basically, what is the London Bridge track for you?
In Supercross, that's a tough one because we have a different track every time. I would have to say for me, it would likely be San Diego because I've had so much success there, and I enjoy the floor plans of those stadiums. I got my first win as a professional at Qualcomm Stadium. You know, I won kind of an underdog comeback story-ish win at Petco. I would have to say that that's my favorite one. It's the most sentimental to me, but it's a tough one because it's every time we go there, it's a different layout, it's a different track, and you can't really count on anything.
This time last year, Justin, so we're three races into the season, and of course now we're getting set to head to Glendale next weekend, but this time last year, how comfortable were you with the bike in 2019 versus where you are now three races in 2020?
I think that I had a big year of learning last year. Obviously, I made a manufacturer change from Suzuki to Honda. I feel much more at home on the Honda as a base motorcycle. I think from the box, it fits me a little bit better. As far as the power and as far as what the 450 class entails, I find a 450 easier to ride, but that's just me. Most people don't find that. I find it slightly easier to ride, but they're quite a bit harder to race. And the difference there is that there's much more as far as competition on these big bikes. And if you have to get loose and let this thing eat, it's definitely more energy expended to make that happen.
Ricky Carmichael's been in the Freak Nation many, many times. And when he was in the Freak Nation talking about running, making the jump to the 450s, and this is when he was still racing, still championship caliber racer, he talked about really how it scared him at first getting on that 450. And you can't put the genie back in the bottle with these bikes, and you're right, it's another animal. But and it's such a Supercross is such a tight course from a novice rider like myself, trying to throw that 450 around in such a tight track still seems incredible that you guys could even get through a race without trashing it half a dozen times.
Yeah, you know, it's something that it's like an acquired taste. You know, you have to put hours and hours and hours into understanding what the bike does under stress. And, you know, like that's actually surprising to hear from me from Ricky, because he was such a pioneer in just manhandling that 450 and changing, honestly, changing the face of the sport. Between him and James, they took it from a sport that was, I would say, more on the strategic side, and they really put the elbow grease into it and made it to where it's a war of attrition now, and you really have to throw these bikes around. So, but that's just a testament to Ricky's character and what a bulldog he is truly in life and as an athlete, because he, you know, obviously Ricky, he's a shorter guy. And for me, I'm probably 5'9", but there's definitely an advantage if you have a 6 foot frame on these bikes. You know, it's just, you get to have a little more leverage when you need it sometimes. So for Ricky being a shorter guy and, you know, me maybe closer to that side, I understand his feelings on that.
When you look back through the sport, you see and hear names Ricky Carmichael, Ryan Villopoto, Jeremy McGrath. In going through the history of the sport, were there ever things that you could see in certain riders that was some sort of a commonality in between all of them that you could really look up to?
I would say that everybody that has been a champion in this sport, especially in the 450 class, has had one thing in common, and that's they're stubborn. And they won't take no for an answer, and they won't take a back step. You know, it's a very tough sport, and things get thrown at you very often that would stop most people in their tracks. A lot of people think it's a glamorous job that you're lucky to do, and it is in a lot of ways, but it is one of the most difficult things that anybody could do. It takes a warrior to get through it, and that's what I see in those top guys. They're stubborn, and they won't take no for an answer.
Would you like to see Supercross maybe throw in a week or two additional of off weekends so your body can recover? I know you got the outdoor season to deal with, but would you like to see maybe another weekend or two off?
you know, for me, I'll just be doing Supercross this year. And as someone just doing Supercross, I would prefer to see the series actually stretched out quite a bit. I think we could do 20 of these things.
Damn.
And like you're saying, throw a couple of extra off weekends in there. But I think we could do, a long season and make it to where, you know, more like GPs in Europe and make it a more spread out series where you get to continue working, you know, through most of the, at least until the early summer months. I would say we could stretch it until, you know, late June, and that would be fine to me.
What's a successful year for Justin Hill?
My successful year is 2017 is probably the most on that I've ever been, most in tune with everything. So I'd pick that year, and it's one of those years where you can look back and you can just YouTube a race in that year and you know, the 250 class, and I'm gonna roughly be at the front. You know, I had a lot of good showings, and more importantly than a lot of good showings, very few bad ones. And that's where, you know, these years can get away from you. You know, like these first couple of rounds for me have been a learning curve, but the result isn't quite there. And you know, we need to put that onto the paper. And then 2017, I really did good at putting that on paper.
Freak Nation, his name is Justin Hill. And, of course, his time in the London Bridge Studios is greatness. I suggest following this guy on Twitter. Which is your account to hear some of your music?
Basically, I have two for Instagram. I just do my regular Justin Hill 46 for Instagram, but if you go onto my regular account, there's a link to it. But I have a little side account that's just Junior Hill Music, and that, you know, it takes more time out of my day to be a motocrosser than it does to be a musician, and that's just prioritizing. And when I get to sit down and do some things and get some content together, I do. But this summer, having some time off is going to give me quite a bit more time to kind of push more of that and actually reach some people that want to hear it. But yeah, it's Instagram. It's just Junior Hill Music. There's some stuff on there from years past and little cover songs that I like, and no real rhyme or reason to it right now, but you know, probably in the near future there will be.
Bam. Justin, thanks for doing this, buddy.
No problem at all. I always enjoy it.
See you, bud.
See you.